This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation Pop Experience, Making Mount Rushmore is back. I am your moderator, Andy Atherton, and thank you for joining me tonight. Tonight, it is February. It is Valentine's Day is about 6 days after the day you'll hear this. And what better time to have a show about romantic comedies? And there's no better way to break it down and get Mount Rushmore than four dudes talking about all romantic chick flicks. But, you know, we're going to do our best to try and have fun and get in touch with our feminine side as well. Let's get them all in here and let's get our lists and get to our Mount Rushmores. We're going to be talking about 80s and 90s romantic comedies to start later on in the 2000s and 2010s will be our categories later on. So, introducing first, Sean Kidd. Hey, Sean.
Good evening, Andy. And I can think of no one better than myself, the romantic expert, to be on this podcast tonight. So look forward to dominating this show.
All right. Also joining us is Ben Locke. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Andy. Yeah, if you want to talk romantic comedies, you get me and Sean on a pod. That's what we're going to do.
You're just big softies, I tell you.
That's it. We're going to show our sensitive side, you know.
Also joining us is Scott Shiflett. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Andy. I've just been watching romantic comedies all day to prepare for this, so I think I'm ready.
A little verklempt. And lastly, the mud pie, Logan Crossland. Hey, Logan.
Hey, Andy. Are there four more unqualified people to do this podcast than us?
Well, you know, I will. we're going to... That's a quite possibility, but I think we're going to have fun, though, because
the vast female population of Place to Be was not available for tonight's recording, so you're stuck with us.
That is true. All right, so let's start off with Sean Kidd. Sean, give us your first entry on your Mount Rushmore of romantic comedies from the 1980s/1990s.
All right, my first one, I am going back to 1989 and... the visual with the radio or the big boombox outside the window, I'm going with Say Anything from 1989. The famous Lloyd Dobler going after Diane Court. You know, that famous scene with the song In Your Eyes is very iconic. It's very funny, very sad. And the journey that Lloyd goes to get Diane, and then her father's story, which is really depressing how he ends up. Of course, he goes on to star in Frasier and has much better things down the road. But really remember this movie growing up. Probably one of the first big romantic comedies that I really enjoyed. And at the time, didn't think it was a romantic comedy, but it is. And I can kind of relate back then to that kind of geekdom, having that, you know, wanting to get that girl that nobody thinks you can get. So I think it's a really well-told story. And that's my first one.
Yeah. Yep, starring Ione Skye, who really didn't do much after that. She appears in, like, the opening scene of Wayne's World. She was with Rob Lowe. I guess she's, like, his girlfriend or lady of the night. Any of you guys ever seen Say Anything? Because none of you had it on your list. Ben?
I'd never even heard of that film until about 2 minutes ago, Andy.
See, I told you, it's very generational, Andy.
Well, it also has a very iconic scene, though, with the radio, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I thought everybody knew that.
Yeah, that's the only part of the movie I know is the iconic scene with the radio, just because how many times it's been parodied and copied. So
same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same. It's John Cusack. John Cusack was very 80s. You know, he had that. He had... what was that movie where he played the where he ended up working at the restaurant with Better Off Dead? You know, you have to see all those movies to really get how big he was. Like, really only behind like Matthew Broderick, I think, right, Sean? Would you say in terms of?
I would say it's really. I think he went on to have more of a career in the '90s too, because he had some good movies in the '90s too. What was the one with him and Catherine Zeta-Jones where they were the married actor couple that was really good and had Billy Crystal in it?
With Julia Roberts, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
what you're talking about.
With the Joker in it with them, yeah.
Oh, we're all gonna be like, that one.
Yeah.
Wasn't America? I forget what it's called, but that's a pretty
America
good movie
Sweethearts.
Too,
America Sweethearts.
Yeah, you know, he was in The Grifters. He was in all sorts of movies too. So I think he had a little bit of more of a long run than Matthew Broderick. But yeah, I think he's pretty '80s iconic.
Yeah, very very small part in 16 Candles. He was one of the nerds.
Yes.
So yeah, mm-hmm. One of his great lines from that movie is, "They ask him what he wants to do with his life. I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, or process anything as a career. I don't want to sell anything bought or processed, or buy anything sold or process anything sold, bought, or processed, or repair anything sold, bought, or processed. You know, as a career, I don't want to do that." So that kind of sums up the kind of stuff in that movie. Ben, give us your first entry.
Okay, I'm going to do mine in release order. So we're sticking in 1989. And Andy, we need to take the mood right down. We need a nice bit of jazz playing. I'm thinking a bit of Harry Connick Jr. I'm thinking that's what we're going to go for. Sean, I think, might have this on his list. Whether the other two younger gentlemen will have it on, I'm not so sure. But for me, it is the quintessential romantic comedy. And it is When Harry Met Sally. Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan, absolutely amazing in this. You talk iconic scenes. You talk that restaurant scene. Everybody knows exactly what you talk about when you get to that. But as well as that scene, you've got the conversation when Harry's just been dumped in the football stadium when they're doing the Mexican wave.
Oh, yeah.
And he's trying to have this proper serious conversation with his best mate whilst the Mexican wave's going on. Mm-hmm.
So, I have this guy that's got a T-shirt that says, "Don't fuck with Mr. Zero. Mr. Zero knew you were getting a divorce before you did," apparently.
Yeah. But yeah, so you know, it goes through 12 years, it goes through like the late 70s right through the 80s. It introduces things like the transitional period of girlfriends and relationships, high and low maintenance women, you know, that was never spoken about before. And for me, even now, so we're talking 32 years later, it's still the best romantic comedy that there is out there for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I, my opinion is the greatest romantic comedy of all time. Sean, you had it as a honorable mention.
Yeah, I totally understand it being on the list. It's not on my personal Mount Rushmore because I think there's movies that make me laugh and I think are funnier and are also romantic that I have on, which a lot of the folks on this show will probably disagree with. But yeah, you can't argue it. Listen, Billy Crystal in that movie is like this overconfident, cocky guy, which is the funniest thing ever for him because he's this little guy. He's not really that great looking, and he's got this very high opinion of himself. You got Carrie Fisher in it. You got Bruno Kirby in it. So really a good star cast, Meg Ryan. But yeah, that it's an iconic movie with great dialogue, and obviously that restaurant scene's a big deal. So you can't argue it should be on a Mount Rushmore for sure.
Yeah. Scott, you've seen When Harry Met Sally?
Actually, I haven't. I just never gotten around to it. I know the famous scene, the restaurant scene. I just know, like, you know, that's a famous scene, and you see it in commercials. I'll have what she's having. WWE did it when they went to Hollywood with their famous commercials. But I just feel like, I don't know, like, I just have no reason to watch it. It's weird. I don't know if it's a generational thing or what.
It probably is. Logan, have you ever seen it?
I've seen it, but it's been a really, really long time. I've seen it like once or twice, I think. But it's a good movie from what I can remember.
Yeah. I have decided for the rest of the day we're going to talk like this. Waiter, there's too much pepper on my paprikash. Please partake a piece of your pecan pie. All right. Scott, you're up. Give us one entry on yours.
So I'm going with my number one for the 80s or the 90s, and it came out in 1996, and it's Jerry Maguire. Starring Tom Cruise with Cuba Gooding Jr. as Rod Tidwell, Renee Zellweger as Dorothy Boyd. I love this movie. If we were doing a combination of romantic comedies from 80s to 2010, I think it would be number two on my list. It's number one for the 80s or the 90s. You know, the famous saying, show me the money. Like, that's where, like, I'm dating myself with this. That's how I got my AOL screen name from. It was just show me the money 07. So, like, I just love the movie. Cuba Gooding Jr. is great in it. Tom Cruise is being the basically the stepdad to Jonathan Lipnicki's character. You have Regina King in it. She plays Cuba Gooding Jr.'s wife. And, you know, Kelly Preston's in it. Jerry O'Connell as Frank Cushman. And it combines, like, you know, they do, like, it's a comedy, it's a romance movie, and it adds in sports as well. And it's just, I just love it. It's one of those movies, anytime it's on TV, I can just sit down and watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had me at hello. Sean, it was one of your many honorable mentions.
So everyone knows that I am not a football guy, but I really enjoyed this movie. I thought Renee Zellweger in this movie was absolutely adorable before her face melted off or something or whatever happened to her in later years.
She got too close to a candle.
Yeah, something happened to her, but she was really, really cute in this movie and adorable, and like you could easily fall in love with her. I liked the whole sports agent things. I liked Kush, you know, and I really did enjoy the whole sports thing with this movie. And yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr., I mean, an all-time great performance. His wife and her attitude is great. And I really liked the journey that Jerry takes with this in terms of his relationship with Renee towards the end. And the ending is really iconic too, where he pitches that throw, the little kid throws the ball, and Jerry's trying to shill him as this great star in the future. It's really a fun movie, and it should be on here. It's on my runner-up though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoy it. You know, Kelly Preston, very hachi-machi. Yeah, yes. Renee Zellweger. I would put Renee Zellweger, this movie, Renee Zellweger, Empire Records, and
Girl probably, Next Door cute is what I call her in this movie. Very mm-hmm. cute.
Very true.
Yes. And also the famous "Who's coming with me" line, which was parried in Half Baked, and you know we've seen it everywhere. So a lot of monumental moments in this movie.
And Jay Moore is such a dick in this movie too. Bob Sugar, right?
Yeah. Oh, Sugar. You're gonna fire me in public? Yeah, I read it from your playbook. Oh, it's such a dick.
Yeah. Logan, are you a fan of Jerry Maguire?
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while, but I always enjoyed it when I watched it.
What about you, Ben? Ben, you're on mute.
Sorry about that, guys. There we go. No, I do love the movie. It was one of my last cuts on the honorable mentions list. I think it's the kid that annoys me. I think that's what it is. I think that's what it came down to.
Wow.
Who's more annoying, Jonathan Lipnicki or Jake Lloyd?
Jake Lloyd, not even close. Jake Lloyd, not in the first Star Wars, but in Turbo Man. Yeah, Jingle All the Way. Jingle so all. Annoying. The worst, little bastard.
All right. Logan, give us your first entry.
Well, my number one pick is The Wedding Singer featuring Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. It's the story of Adam Sandler's character, Robbie Hart, the wedding singer. He's engaged at the beginning of the movie to someone, and she leaves him at the altar, and then he kind of gets down on his luck, and he meets a waitress that works the wedding hall that he sings at. So and then they eventually just kind of build a relationship and fall in love. This is a movie me and my family have watched a million times on TV. It's one of my favorites. And you know, as a little kid, Drew Barrymore was like the most beautiful girl in the world. But now that I've gotten older, her cousin Holly's the much more attractive character in that movie. So, but yeah, just a classic. And, I mean, like I've said on, when I was on Laughing Theater, Adam Sandler was a fixture in my household. So this was one that was on all the time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. When this came out in 1998, you know, for those of us who grew up in the '80s, this was like a love letter to that time period. There were so many jokes, so many in things. It was so great. I mean, in great casting in that movie, as always. Drew Barrymore is, you know, adorable. And then she has the hot, slutty cousin Holly, you know, mm-hmm. Marsha Brady, yes.
Marsha Brady, yeah.
Probably on Sean's train. Sean, it was also on your list as well.
It is. I mean, to Logan's point, very iconic. You also said the 80s. If you were in the 80s, this was your wheelhouse movie. And Drew Barrymore, again, it's kind of like that Renee Zellweger thing where she's the girl next door cute in this one. And I was a sucker for the girl next door cute. That sometimes to me is more attractive than the hot ones. Well, a lot of the time it's more attractive than the hot ones. But the songs he does, like that iconic scene with Billy Idol on the plane at the end singing I Want to Grow Old with You. I mean, it's hard not to get, like, you know, you watch that and you're like, man, that's freaking awesome. I love the song that Robbie does when he's at the wedding site and he's singing that song about somebody kill me, please, after
his with John Lovitz, yeah, a bullet rival. In
my head. That's so great. Yeah, so probably my favorite Adam Sandler movie of all time and definitely deserves to be on this list. So I agree with Logan 100%. Yeah,
great soundtrack, great montages. You know, Linda, such a, you know what?
I forgot about that. I give him a Van Halen shirt, Linda.
Yeah, yeah. Get on my Van Halen shirt before you curse the band and they break up too.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're all pissed about this wedding thing.
Great movie.
Hey, Glenn, what are you going to do? Miami Vice is on same as wedding. Summer reruns.
Julia. Ben. Yeah, so.
Yeah, Julia Guglia.
Julia Guglia.
That's funny. Why was that funny? I don't know. It just is. Ben, that was one of your honorable mentions.
It was. If you remember, Andy, on a previous edition of Mount Rushmore, when we did the 90s It Guys, Jake Williams tried to make Adam Sandler one of them, and I very quickly shot it down because I can't stand Adam Sandler with one exception. This film is the one exception. I don't know if it's the 80s soundtrack, the 80s vibes, or what, but I absolutely love this movie. Yeah, it's Adam Sandler playing the usual role, but in this it's perfectly acceptable. One thing we haven't mentioned is, and I can't remember the character's name, the Boy George guy, the backing singer.
George.
One song. George, that's George. It. It's literally George, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, he only knows that one song, and he's pretty good at it, but you know, you don't want to hear it all through your party.
Give me time to yes, and little tease that Wedding Singer is coming to Laughing Theater soon with Ben and your Telly and T co-host.
Oh, nice.
What? Yes. What? Yes. Right.
Scott, you have anything to say, add about the Wedding Singer?
I've only seen this a couple of times, and like Logan said, man. How Adam Sandler was pretty much playing in his household, it was the same here, but for some reason, this movie never got a bunch of play in my household. It was usually like Big Daddy. That's the one that got a lot of play in our house, but I haven't seen it in a while. I remember not really liking it as a kid, but I might have been too young to really understand all of the jokes when I saw it.
It's not, when you think of Adam Sandler movies, it's not his typical, you know, because you remember it's actually a really, I'm not saying his other movies are not cohesive stories, but Billy Madison, Waterboy, Happy Gilmore, those are all kind of just silly, stupid comedies. This is really, this has a heart, and you really feel for Robbie, you know, the entire movie. So maybe that's why, because it's not, atypical.
Yeah, I think that's why I like it, because there's actually a plot to it. It's not Adam Sandler being Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm. Stop looking at me, Swan. Anyway.
Yeah,
that's from another movie.
I don't think Drew Barrymore's character is like out of Adam Sandler's league either. I feel like they go well together. I feel like that's why they've been in a lot of movies together. So.
They really have good chemistry together, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely chemistry, though.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of movies where you're like, huh? Like with his romantic leads, it's like, meh.
Yeah, when he had Brooklyn Decker and then somehow got Jennifer Aniston in that movie, I was like, come on, bro. Come on.
50 First Dates is another one that's pretty underrated too, I think is pretty good. So
yeah. Actually, you know, my kids love Blended, you know, with them together. And it's actually really funny. But
yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. All right, Sean, give us another entry on your list.
All right, so I'm going back to 1987, so I guarantee you none of these guys have this on their list. But in the 80s, John Hughes was life. So you had, 16 Candles, you had Breakfast Club. I think he did Weird Science too, right, Andy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is probably one that's under the radar a little bit, but it's one of those that every time it comes on, because I love the soundtrack, I love the story, it's called Some Kind of Wonderful. It has Eric Stoltz, Mary Stuart Masterson, and Leah Thompson from Back to the Future. And it's a story of Keith, who's kind of like on the wrong side of the tracks, who is in love with Amanda, who is super, super popular, and his best friend is a tomboy, and her name is Watts. It has short hair, and she's secretly in love with him, but supports him kind of on this journey to date Amanda. And her boyfriend, Craig Sheffer, is just a straight-up prick, your typical, like, Cobra Kai Johnny kind of prick. But I love the story. I love how, in the end, that he ends up with Watts versus Amanda. And the music has a great soundtrack, a couple of Rolling Stones songs in it. Amanda Jones in the shower scene is pretty cool when he's singing the Rolling Stones. So I really enjoy this, and one of my favorites, and I think it's really under the radar, and it's unfortunate because it's a really well-done movie.
No, no, it is. It's been, honestly, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I remember all of them were great. And also around that time, Eric Stoltz and Leah Thompson were in the Wildlife together, which I don't think would ever make a list like this, but it is definitely a real, that's another really fun movie. It wasn't
a 3 years earlier, he was in Mask with Cher in a very different role.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, and got booted from Back to the Future. Have any of you guys even heard of this movie?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, same here.
Unbelievable.
I've heard of it, but never seen it. But yeah, maybe he spoiler alert, does he get with Watts? Because I would have chose her over Leah Thompson.
In the end, he ends up with Watts, but
okay,
yes,
good.
He ends up with Watts in the end.
Because just looking at the movie poster, I'm like, damn.
Well, during most of the movie, you're wondering if Watts is a lesbian for the most part. You think she's a lesbian for most
of the movie. So. Yeah, well, it was the 80s. All right, Ben. Well, because it wasn't.
Even Andy's shitting on that pick.
No, you're right. I'm not denying it. It's just...
I'm not shitting. It was a little out of left field, but, you know, in the 80s, it wasn't. It just wasn't as. You know, people weren't out as much and wasn't as, you know, it was a different time. That's all it was. People were not
all
as.
Right, you need to move on your shit.
Yeah, I know.
All right, move on.
All right, Ben.
It was a different time, man. So I am going to 1990. I am going to for a film for and another previous episode of Making Mount Rushmore starring that old hag, Julia Roberts, although she wasn't old in this case. She's partnering up with Richard Gere. I am, of course, talking about Pretty Woman. If this film was originally meant to be going to be like a story about, you know, class and prostitution, so God knows what that would have looked like, but this film is just fantastic. It's so, so funny. I love Jason Alexander in it. I can't remember the guy's name, the guy who plays Bernard, the hotel manager. He's great in it. Richard Gere, yeah, he does play the slimy dick at the beginning of the film, but she does turn him around totally. And again, another iconic scene with the, you know, when she goes back into the fashion house and, you know, the big mistake scene. Yeah, it's just a great, great movie.
Yeah, that was Hector Elizondo, who plays the manager.
Okay.
And Larry Miller, small part, but he's the guy who's you know, running this store that they do buy the clothes in for her. Is like, we need a lot more sucking up right now. Logan.
And Barnard's great though, because he's like, you know, you can just tell like he doesn't really like her, he doesn't really trust her, but he knows that Richard Gere's character pays such a lot of money to the hotel, he's going to put up with her no matter what.
Yeah, yeah. Logan made your list as well.
Speaking of hookers, no, I'm just playing. little pre-show joke there, I'm sorry. No, this is a great movie. Honestly, when I was thinking about this, that was the first one that came to my mind. It's not one I've seen a whole ton, but I've always enjoyed it when I do watch it, and it's kind of Julia Roberts' big breakout, so definitely a great film, and it's a really well-told story.
Yeah, Sean, it was on your honorable mentions.
Well, it has to be just because it's an iconic movie, not one that would be on my Mount Rushmore, but if I'm going to call a spade, it should be. Very well-known movie, and I know if I were going to get a hooker, she would certainly not look like Julia Roberts. So let's move on.
All right. Well,
she'd look not. Like Kat Dennings.
Yes.
She would look like Kat Dennings.
Mm-hmm. Scott, didn't make your list. Are you a fan?
I don't know. I think it was just on so many times, like on TV growing up, that I was just like, nah, I kind of hate this movie. I would have to see it with, like, you know, 32, 31-year-old eyes. However old I am, I don't know anymore. But but I would have to watch it again, and I don't know. You know, Julia Roberts has go away heat with me. Like,
it's okay. She should. It's all right.
The only movies I liked her in were the Ocean's movies, and that's when she was making fun of herself. So, yeah, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I never liked My Best Friend's Wedding or Notting Hill. If that's on anyone's list, I just don't. So,
what about Sleeping with the Enemy? Is that a favorite of yours?
I've never even seen it. I've never even heard of it.
Right. Julia Roberts has Natalia Heat with Scott.
Exactly.
Gotta say, Andy, as well, killer soundtrack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which all romantic, all good romantic comedy should have.
Yes. All right, Scott, give us another one on your list.
All right, so my number two is came out in 1999. As a spoiler alert, guys, I don't know about you, Logan, but it was a little bit harder for me to pick 80s and 90s compared to 2000, 2010. so this came out, like I said, it came out in 1999. It's 10 Things I Hate About You, which I'm a sucker for, like, teen comedies, like, even, like, teen soap operas. Like, I loved One Tree Hill, OC, all that. But 10 Things I Hate About You was great. It had Heath Ledger. He's just... I think this was his first big role. It was before First Night. And then you have Julia Stiles, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's off of Third Rock from the Sun, Larissa Olnick, who was in a bunch of Nickelodeon TV shows and was pretty attractive to 10-year-old Scott. David Krumholtz is in it. And then you have Gabrielle Union playing a bit part, Larry Miller, Allison Janney's in there, CJ from West Wing. I love her. I don't know. It's just – I just love the movie, you know. Heath Ledger kills it. He steals every scene he's in. Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the nerd getting the girl, which is Bianca Stratford. Just a great movie all around.
Ben, you had on your list as well.
I did. At that period in the late 90s, there was this whole slew of, like, teen romantic comedies. So I'm thinking things like She's All That, so, you know, those kind of movies. And this is head and shoulders above them all. Like Scott said, the cast is just fantastic. We were doing our GCSEs, so that's, like, you know, 15, 16, 16-year-old. We were doing Taming of the Shrew. You have to learn a piece of Shakespeare. That was what we were doing. So, you know, this film is, you know, modern retelling of that story. So we were able to watch this film actually for coursework, which was quite nice to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was one of Sean's honorable mentions.
It was. I actually like this movie quite a bit. So, funny story. So my wife and I first started, I had never seen this movie before. My wife and I started dating in 2003. After I had to suffer through the Harry Potter movies with her because I was trying to get somewhere with her, the next movie she wanted me to watch was this. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to have to continue the charade and act like I like a movie that I hate. But I really enjoyed this. It reminded me of the 80s teen comedies. Great cast. You know what? Who's the girl again? Julie? What? What's her
Julia
name?
Julia Stiles.
Yeah, Julia Stiles. She's on the smell. I believe she's on the Smell Club list. I believe, if I'm correct, I have her on that.
She should be if she's not.
Yeah, I think she is. And obviously Heath Ledger is an all-star on that list. But really well done movie. I it made me laugh. I loved the dad. I loved their father, who is just your typical single dad, overprotective. And even though Julia Stiles is in the club, I think she plays a great, you know, just stuck like a bitch and just hates everybody and is a rebel. And Heath Ledger is really good in it. I mean, I can't argue. It really is a great movie.
Yeah. Logan, what about you? You're the only one that hasn't had a chance to talk about this movie.
I've only seen it a couple times, but it's not something I've seen enough to really put it on a list like this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. You know, I'm not that I'm indifferent. It's just like, you know, I like the movie. You know, if it's on, maybe I'll check it out. I think Heath Ledger's great. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you know, and again, Larry Miller, the guy, you know, was a steam sealer. I mean, I would highly suggest you seek out some of his stand-up comedy. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Very, very funny gentleman. So now we're up to Logan. Logan, give us another entry on your list.
Scott was talking about picking mostly 90s stuff. I actually prefer like a lot of 80s movies, so a lot of mine are from the 80s, actually. But this one's from the 90s. This one's Sleepless in Seattle with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. It's kind of a story of a architect from Chicago who moves to Seattle after his wife dies, and his kid calls into a radio station on Christmas Eve and kind of says that his dad's lonely and convinces him to get on the phone and kind of tells his story, and like women across the country feel bad for him and kind of fall for his story and all that. Annie, who's played by Meg Ryan, hears it, and eventually she writes a letter to him to meet him on top of the Empire State Building. And she decides not to mail it at first, but one of her friends mails it anyway. And then it's just a story of kind of getting connected, then I'm connected in New York eventually, and the kid runs away and goes to New York by himself, so his dad has to come after him, and then they finally meet at the very end and they get on the elevator. They don't really tell the rest of the story, but you kind of assume that they get together.
Yeah.
But it's a great movie.
Yeah, it's fun. Again, it's like the last one, 10th Xavier. You mean I'm not a huge fan of it. I mean, I like it, but it's not something, you know, it's definitely better than the Shop Around the Corner remake they made, You Got Mail. Sean, it didn't make your list, but any thoughts on Sleepless in Seattle?
I just feel like there was too many movies like this. You Got Mail, Sleepless in Seattle, When Harry Met Sally, just a lot of these cutesy kind of movies that all seem like they blended and kind of were the same to me. So, yeah, I didn't make my list.
Mm-hmm. Ben, any thoughts on Sleepless in Seattle?
Yeah, it didn't make my list. It is far too schmaltzy for my cold, cold heart. Sorry.
All right, Scott, anything to add?
No. Basically, like I don't even think I've ever seen this movie, but it seems like Meg Ryan plays the same part in every movie, and Tom Hanks really typecast himself as like you know a certain parts in the romantic comedies. I mean, he's obviously moved past that, but I don't know. I'll have to get out of that of watching it.
He was really good in that romantic comedy, Forrest Gump. That was a good romantic comedy.
Well, I was thinking with You Got Mail because, like Andy said, it was the same movie.
No, it is. It's exactly. It's almost the exact same movie. You're right.
Yeah. One thing.
Speaking of hookers,
is go on YouTube and somebody recut a Sleepless in Seattle trailer as if it was a horror movie.
Oh God!
Yeah, recut trailers are some of my favorite things. They have The Shining as a comedy. Yeah, you just should check it out. Sean, all right, you have one more left on your list. Why don't you give it to us?
So this is one of my all-time favorite movies, and I know Andy's gonna shit on this because I tried to get him to do it on Laugh in Theater, and he shot it down. I don't know if you remember that, Andy.
No,
but I was really pissed off when you shot it down. Oh, we'll do American Pie. I don't want to do that one. That's I remember it vividly. This is Eddie Murphy, 1992, and the movie's called Boomerang. And Eddie Murphy plays he's like this big, huge advertising executive named Marcus, and he gets this new female boss that's played by Robin Givens. And he's got these two guys, his buddies. They're Martin Lawrence. They're David Alan Grier. And Marcus is a real womanizer, and this whole movie is about him being a womanizer, trying to get into his boss's pants. He actually sleeps with Eartha Kitt, who played Catwoman in the early Batman movies, to seal a marketing deal. And it is one of the funniest things of all time. And he also has a and he judges his women much like I do, and has a very distinct affinity for not liking hammer toe feet. So very, very there's a scene there where he pulls back the covers on Robin Givens' feet. And he's looking for Hammer Time, and he goes, yes, no Hammer Time. So that's where Hammer Time came from, was with feet, was this movie. A really good soundtrack with Boyz II Men, PM Dawn. I know a lot of people wouldn't put it on the list, but I encourage you, if you have not seen this movie or have not seen it in a long time, go back and watch it. At the end, the journey's about him falling in love with one of the storyboard ladies that work for the firm, and not Jacqueline Robin Givens. So I really enjoy this movie. It makes me laugh every time I see it.
Yeah, I think I poo-pooed it because I've only seen it once. So pull back the curtain. I like to do movies on left there usually that I know fairly well. But yeah,
well, I guess I break kayfabe. Sorry.
I guess I have to relent and when Sean comes back for solo adding, we'll have to do that. Ben Boomerang, your thoughts?
If I was clever enough, Andy, I'd do what some other people would have done and just play End of the Road right now. Because yeah, it's a really good film, but that song is amazing. Yeah, it's not one of my favorite Eddie Murphy performances, but yeah, it is a pretty good movie.
It's an underrated one. I feel like it's one that's there that nobody really talks about.
Yeah, it's before he sort of dies into that, you know, when he tried to, you know, the Norbit era, as I call it.
This is like the Distinguished Gentleman era where those movies are good and nobody really pays attention because he's at the end of that really high peak.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, not everything is going to be, you know, 48 Hours, Coming to America, Trading Places. You know, you're going to have some lower tier movies, you know, that on your resume. Scott, have you ever seen Boomerang?
No, I haven't. sorry, Sean. I'm really showing my age. I've heard of it, but I've just have never seen it. I thought it was around like the dead time in Eddie Murphy's career that, you know, Dr. Doolittle and the Clumps reignited.
This is 18th highest grossing movie in 1992.
Okay.
So it actually did pretty good.
I was incorrect then.
Yeah.
All right. Logan, have you seen Boomerang?
I've never even heard of it. And Sean, don't hide the fact that you're a prick. We know. You don't have to apologize for calling out Andy. We all know.
And Logan is feisty. I don't know what's gotten into you. Like, what did you pour in your Cheerios this morning?
Instant vinegar.
All right.
Feisty one you are.
He's a light feisty one there. All right, Ben, give us your last entry on your list.
All right. To the surprise of nobody listening to this, I have a slightly different voice to the gentleman on this call, because I'm not from their part. I am from the good old UK, so I better pick a UK film. And it is probably, it's probably one of my favourite films of all time. It's a film that's unapologetically posh, frumpish, froppy. It's from the Working Title group who, if you've ever seen Blackadder, I don't know if that ever got over there, Andy. Does that ring the bell?
It's come over here, but I mean, I've never really watched it.
So it's from the same people who that the film, I haven't actually talked about the film yet. So the film is Four Weddings and a Funeral. It was Hugh Grant's breakout performance. I will agree that Andy McDowell is terrible in this. Like, you'll not hear any argument from that. But the romantic chemistry from the rest of the cast in this film bring her role almost to irrelevance. So you've got the likes of, you know, Simon Callow and John Hannah's relationship. James Fleet, Chris and Scott Thomas is in this. And it's just a great, great film. Rowan Atkinson as the bumbling priest doing the second wedding is one of the funniest things you've seen, as well as, you know, Charles sitting down at the wedding dinner with, you know, five of his ex-girlfriends and that whole sequence. Any film that starts with a record number of fucks at the beginning of the film, Andy, I am all in on, basically. But yeah, Four Weddings and a Funeral, great film. And until that wizarding chum of Sean's came along, was the biggest grossing British film of all time.
Yeah. Wow. Bravo! As one of the guys says in the movie. Scott, have you seen Four Weddings and a Funeral? You have anything to add?
I can't say I've ever seen it. And the only time I ever heard of it was when in our group chat when Ben was talking about how he was watching it a couple weeks ago. So.
Watching it in preparation.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Logan, have you ever seen it?
I've never seen it. I can't say I have.
Well, you know, it's better than when we had an Oscar show and somebody on that show didn't see anything but two movies nominated that year. So we're not going to say the name, but somebody who, you know, anyway, here we go. Sean, any thoughts about Four Weddings and a Funeral?
I mean, I get totally why it would be on the Mount Rushmore. It's just not my cup of tea, so I don't have much more to add to that movie.
All right. Scott, give us another one in your list.
All right, this is going to be highly controversial because when I sent it to Andy, he said, and I quote, "I don't think this is a romantic movie." romantic comedy. And I just laughed at him, so I didn't know what to say. but it's The Breakfast Club. As I mentioned with my previous pick, I'm a sucker for like teen comedies, and I just think this is a romantic comedy and basically set the standard for what we're still seeing all these years later. 1985 when it came out, and you know, with Molly Ringwald and as Claire Standish, and you know, Judd Nelson's character, you know, getting together at the end, she gives the, you know, the diamonds, and so he could pay for the bill, pay the bills for his piece of shit dad, who sounds just as bad as LaRusso's mom, to be honest. But yeah, I just took it as a romantic comedy. I mean, it's not, it has its moments, but yeah, I know it's probably not on anyone else's list. Like I said, this was hard for me for the 80s and the 90s.
I personally don't think it's a romantic comedy because it's really a coming of age story. It was very typical. This is what Saturday detentions were like. You literally had to sit there all day, and then maybe they made you do work. Who knows? Sean, since we're around the same age, would you agree with that?
No. If I were to put it on the top teen movies of the 80s, it would probably be number one or number two on that because it's an iconic movie. I love the movie. I wouldn't really put it in a romantic realm, though, but, I mean, it's a great movie.
I mean, there is romance in the movie. I mean,
well, yeah, because Emilio Estevez ends up with Ali Sheedy and her gross hair. And yeah, and then Molly Ringwald ends up with gross Judd Nelson. So two all-time Smell Club candidates in that movie. But yeah, I mean, I guess you could look at it from that point of view. If you want to make it a romantic comedy, then you could probably say yeah at that point because they have those two end up together at the end. So
yeah.
I mean, if you really wanted to look at it from that. But
Ben? What do you say?
Well, I put it in my honorable mentions, so I would consider it a romantic movie. Like Sean says, you've got the relationship between the two, you know, the two couples, if you will. But then, you know, if we're taking a romantic, you think of a romantic movie as well as the relationship between that group of characters and the chemistry and the relationship that forms in that movie. You know that they might not. You know, there's going to be that nod of respect across the hallway. You hope that they're going to be friends after the movie, but, you know, that's probably not going to happen apart from the couples. You know, they're going to split three ways.
But Ben, yeah, is it a Christmas movie?
It's definitely not a Christmas movie.
Okay, all right.
But I'm with you. If it would be number one in my teen movie pick and probably number one in my 80s movie soundtrack pick, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Logan, you have anything to add about this movie?
Yeah, I don't know if I would consider it a romantic comedy, but it's my favorite movie of all time, actually. So I love it. It's great. I'm a big fan of a lot of the 80s movies. Back to the Future is one of my favorites too. So just all the movies kind of around that time period are a big hit with me. So but yeah. I love the movie, but I don't know if I'd put it in this category.
All right. Well, Logan, we're sticking with you, and you can finish off your Mount Rushmore.
Okay, my last one is from 1987. It's The Princess Bride. It's the story of a grandfather telling his grandson that's sick in bed, kind of a fairy tale. It has Cary Elwes, Robin Wright, and Andre the Giant's in it. So that's probably somewhat why I picked it. But yeah, it's just a great story about Wesley, who's played by Cary Elwes, saves Princess Buttercup, played by Robin Wright. Just a classic movie. When I was little, we used to watch this one all the time. And I've always watched it throughout the years, and it's just a fantastic movie.
Yes, yes. I love this movie, too. I mean, Nico Montoya, you kill my father. Prepare to die.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's incredibly quotable, too.
Oh yeah, I didn't think it was very fair. I could have hit you with it. Hey, there's 30 men there.
Unbelievable.
Have you heard of Socrates, Plato, Aristotle? Morons.
Morons.
Have fun storming the castle. Spiegel. It's great. I didn't make anybody else's list, but I'm sure it's beloved. Sean, are you a fan of Princess?
I absolutely love this movie. I don't think I put it in as a romantic comedy. I kind of. For me, I looked at it is a romantic comedy, let's be honest, but I put it like, again, it's kind of like Breakfast Club. If you put it in another tier, like if you were to say, what are your top five, what's your Mount Rushmore, the best movies of the 80s? This one would be in that Mount Rushmore for me. It's a great story. You know, everyone can relate to it. Andre the Giant, iconic role, and just a really, really fun watch. And yeah, it's a great, great movie. But yeah, I didn't put it in with the rom-coms. I didn't do that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, pure true love. Nothing better than that, except for a nice MLT, a mutton lettuce and tomato. When the tomatoes are nice and lean, they're so perky. I love that. Ben, what are your thoughts on The Princess Bride?
Yeah, it's a great movie. And much like Jerry Maguire, it was one of the last cuts on my honorable mentions list. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Scott?
Yeah, I agree with Sean. I thought it was more of a comedy, but I love that movie. I've seen it a bunch of times. I thought it was great. Robin Wright just looks amazing and still looks amazing to this day. So, yeah, I can understand why Logan has it on his list.
All right, Scott, you're the only one with an entry left, so why don't you give it to us?
All right, as I mentioned, I love teen comedies, and I think this movie I watched at least like 100 times because it seemed like it was always on like HBO at my dad's house because he had that – this is really going to date me. Do you remember those big-ass satellites that you would have to, like, type in the location and it would move? My dad at his house had that satellite. So, like, I can't remember what I did at work today, but I can remember, like, how to get to TBS on that damn satellite. But anyway, I have Can't Hardly Wait, which 1998, you know, it has a bunch of big names in it. Jennifer Love Hewitt, who's at the height of her powers, in my opinion. Ethan Embry, Seth Green's in it, you know, and just a big, it's a big house party at the end of the year after graduation. Ethan Embry wants to profess his love to Jennifer Love Hewitt, who he does. She's dating Peter Fuselli, who's an asshole. I just love that movie. I don't know how many people might have seen it, but it's just great.
Mike Dexter, what a douche. No, we've seen it. Actually, we did a group watch on Life in Theater for that movie. It was a lot of fun. You know, I think Grooney was on that. So. Logan, are you a fan of Can't Hardly Wait?
I think I watched it along with the podcast that y'all did that one time, but I think that's the only time I've ever seen it. So I actually haven't seen it a bunch of times.
Sean?
Absolutely great movie. And it's hard because I have a runner-up that is probably similar to it, but I definitely would put it on a list. It is one of my favorite movies. And like Scott said, when it comes on, every time it's on the TV, I'll watch it all the way through. I think Ethan Embry in it's really good. Jennifer Love Hewitt as Amanda is really good. I love Seth Green. Yeah, so Seth Green. They get locked in the bathroom together. So really, it is a really iconic 90s movie. So there's no harm in it being on his Mount Rushmore at all.
Yeah, William, the kid who played Robin Williams' son in Hook, was in it also.
Yes.
I just remember seeing it as a kid and thinking that it Ethan Embry was going to be a big actor, and he wasn't. I mean, he's had his own drug issues, but I remember it being iconic because Melissa Joan Hart was in it, and they shit on her in the movie. Like, yes. She's, and like that was when she was like big as Sabrina, the teenage witch, and before that, Clarissa Explains It All. So I was like, oh, showing that she's like, you know, like a B-level star, and the rest of these people are A-list stars.
And I think Seth, I don't know, was he on Buffy at that point?
It would have been 98. Yeah, he would have been just starting. Yeah,
but I'll also say a really good soundtrack, too, because it's got Dire Straits on it. It's got the soundtrack for it's pretty damn good, too.
Well, yeah, so, there's a lot of people in small parts. Jerry O'Connell, Selma Blair,
Jamie Presley's in it.
Yeah, Donald Faison, Breckin Meyer, like a lot of guys in it. You know, Trip McNeely. All right. All right, Sean, any honorable mentions that we didn't talk about?
So I had two. So similar going back to the 80s. So I had 16 Candles on there. So going back to John Hughes and Samantha's journey turning 16. Her sister's getting married. She's in love with Jake. So there's that whole story. I really like that. And then one of my underrated favorites is Overboard with Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. Kurt Russell's just such a dick to her in that movie. But, of course, she's a rich, stuck-up bitch. And in the end, they end up together. So I'll always watch those two when they come on the TV as well.
You actually also had Can't Buy Me Love as well.
I did have Can't Buy Me Love as well. Yeah, I love Can't Buy Me Love, and I struggle with – you know, what I had to think about was what movies do I really love and what movies will I watch every time it's on? Can't Buy Me Love is a really, really fun, underrated movie. Came out in 1987. And if you guys haven't watched that, I encourage that one because there's a great scene at the it's about a nerd who pays a popular girl to be his girlfriend for, I think, 30, 60 days. And he becomes super popular. And then the end of it is just unbelievable. Like, there's great dance scene at the end, and Billy Idol's playing in the background. And it's just a fantastic movie. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it too. Ben, any honorable mentions we didn't talk about?
So you've mentioned The Breakfast Club and Wedding Singer already. I also picked, because Matt Souza isn't on this call, I did pick Coming to America. It's a great film, isn't it? Matt, though, waxes lyrical about it, so you know you can hear that on other episodes. Another one I mentioned is Big. If you can get past the whole it's a 9-year-old kid looking lusting after a 25-year-old woman, yeah, but it's what it is. Like Sean said, it's films you love, films you can watch over and over again, and Big is definitely, you know, high on that list for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd consider Coming to America though a romantic comedy. I mean, I would consider it one of the best comedies of all time. But
I think you could, because it's his journey to find a wife, and he ends up with
her. Yeah, exactly.
I would pick that one over Breakfast Club.
Yeah, I guess. Scott, do you have any other?
Yeah, I didn't send this, but She's All That, which, I mean, look, yeah. Just a great movie. And look at this cast list. Freddie Prinze Jr., accomplished WWE writer. Rachel Lee Cook. Matthew Lillard, Paul Walker, Kevin Pollak, Anna Paquin, Kieran Culkin, Eldon Henson, who was in Daredevil as Fozzie, Usher.
Foggy.
Usher, Little Kim, Gabrielle Union, Duel Hill, Clea DuVall, Tim Matheson. Just an all-star cast. Like, and was, you know, that's when Freddie Prinze Jr. was in every, it seemed, comedy romance movie from 98 to 2001, but make your money, man. So, but it's just a great movie, and I think this is the one that kicked it off.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Logan, you have any others to add?
Sherman would be ashamed of you, Scott. You didn't have Eldon Henson as Fulton Reed from Mighty Ducks. How dare you? But no, I didn't have any honorable mentions.
All right, so we've covered the 80s and the 90s, but we still have the 2000s, which are the aughties, right, Ben? Is that what we call it?
Naughties.
and the 2010s, romantic comedies, when we come back with Sean Kidd, Ben Locke, Scott Shiflett, and Lower and Crosland. I'm Andy Atherton. Making Mount Rushmore will return in just a moment. Is she walking back to me? Yeah, she's walking back to me. Oh, pretty woman. Peace up. A-Town. All right, PlayStation Pop Experience. Welcome back to Making Mount Rushmore number 11. We're talking romantic comedies. We've already given our Mount Rushmores of the 80s and 90s combined, and now we're into the noughties, as Ben would say, the 2000s and the 2010s with Logan, Scott, Ben, and Sean. So we're going to get started with the Mud Pie. Logan, what is your first romantic comedy from the 2000s, 2010s to make your Mount Rushmore?
Well, we actually talked about it a little bit in the break. I'm going to go with Hitch featuring Will Smith. His character's name is Alex, is why I said that. It's from 2005. His name is Alex Hitchens. He plays a guy who kind of is known as the date doctor. He kind of figures out how to get guys that usually couldn't land women that are out of their league, but he kind of teaches them ways that he can kind of romanticize them and, you know, kind of land people that may not be in their league per se. But he helps Kevin James's character named Albert Brenneman. He helps him get with a girl named Allegra Cole. It's just a story of all the mishaps and all the kind of stuff that happens between Allegra and Albert, and Will Smith's character actually meets Eva Mendez's character, and they fall in love throughout the story as well. But it's just a great movie, and I watch it anytime I can have it on.
Yeah, it's actually one of my guilty pleasures that I love. I think it's so good. I think it's one of Kevin James's best roles. Mm-hmm. You know, him and Will Smith have such great chemistry in this movie, and it's just hysterical. You know, Albert Brenneman is. You just can't help but root for the guy in the movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's very cool. Scott Hitch, are you a fan?
I'm pissed off at myself. Like, we talked about it at the break, and then I didn't even think to put it on my list. It would have been an honorable mention for me. Like you guys said, I just love the movie. The chemistry is off the charts for Will Smith and Kevin James. Like, it was so good, I wanted them to be in more movies together. But Will Smith wants to make shitty movies with his son. So, but
true.
I just can't gush about it anymore. Like, that's a hell of a pick, look.
Yeah, I can't
I'm upset with myself.
I can't hear Yeah by Usher and not do, like, the Kevin James dance moves. Q-tip, throw it away. You don't need no food.
He's just like... Get out.
Just like, nope. Ben, what about you and Hitch?
Guilty pleasures, you say, Andy. There could be an idea in that. I think they call that a soft tease in the business. Yeah, no, I like it. It is a good film. It's like Scott said, you know, another major actor before he goes into the dead zone of his career. I always remember I was going out with a girl. She was quite, you know, bit of a goth, bit of a horror movie buff. And we went to see this on Valentine's Day. I can't remember what film she wanted to see, but it was some really terrible horror movie. And I was the big wuss who wouldn't go see it. So it was like a proper role reversal of, yeah, let's go see this nice, cheesy, romantic, fun comedy with Will Smith now. But yeah, I really like it. Good pick, Logan.
Sean?
Yeah, guilty pleasure was the way I would put it. And, you know, this one was harder for me than the 80s and 90s, obviously, generational. So kind of like how some of the other guys struggled with that time frame, I struggle with this one a little bit. But Hitch is definitely a good, solid pick. But, yeah, kind of out of sight, out of mind. I'm kind of kicking myself because that could probably be on my list as well, at least on my runner-up list.
All right. Scott, give us your first entry.
As I said before, at the start of this, Jerry Maguire is my number two overall, but number one in 80s and 90s. This pick right now is my number one pick. If I had to sit down and think, it would probably be my top 10 favorite movies of all time. I'm going with Sweet Home Alabama with Reese Witherspoon at the height of her powers, in my opinion, as Melanie Smooter. Patrick Dempsey, who isn't even a bad guy. He's not a piece of shit in this movie. As Andrew Hennings, who loses the girl to Josh Lucas. As Jake Perry, as Reese Witherspoon's first husband that she never divorced. They never signed the papers. She goes back home as she's some New York socialite now and falls back in love with Jake Perry, Josh Lucas, her first husband. You know, it has the famous scene, you have a baby at a bar. It's just great. Ethan Embry's in this movie. You know, she calls him out. She actually outs him to everyone, which is a piece of shit move, but, you know, they look past this in 2002, but it's just a great movie. And every time this is on TV, I'm sitting down and watching it. Like, I love this movie. I own it on DVD.
Yeah. Another guilty pleasure for me. You know, how would I feel if Women's Wear Weekly, you know, called me less than mediocre? And, you know, the great Melanie Lynskey, who can do any accent she dares, does the, you know, the Southern accent. It's fun. I mean, the whole thing with the lightning hitting the sand and all that. Ben, Sweet Home Alabama, is that one of your you like that movie?
I do like that movie. And like Scott says, yeah, Reese rise at the height of her powers. This, along with another movie that might get mentioned later on. I don't know if it's coming up, but yeah, really, really good film. Great film. And like you guys said, you know, Ethan Embry, Patrick Dempsey's really good in it as well. Yeah, fabulous.
Yeah. Sean?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a guilty pleasure, but, you know, it's just one of those that I'll watch when it's on, but it doesn't really, like, stick out for me too much.
Mm-hmm. Logan, anything to add?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I haven't seen it in a really long time, so it's probably just one of those that kind of slipped my mind. But it's definitely a good pick by Scott for sure.
Yeah, all right. Ben, give us your first entry.
Okay, not to the surprise of nobody listening, here comes another British film or a British-based film. I'm picking Bridget Jones's The Diary. So we mentioned we mentioned Renée Zellweger in the first part of this show. I would consider this peak Zellweger before the face melting happens. And she does a damn fine British accent. She's really good in this film. You've also got Colin Firth and Hugh Grant as her two love interests in it. It's obviously based on the books of Helen Fielding. It's again made a shit ton of money. I'm just looking here. Let me have a gander. Yeah, $282 million it made. So that tells you a lot about it. There's that, you know, epic fight scene between Firth and Grant to the soundtrack of It's Raining Men in the Greek Restaurant, which is still fabulous. And it's obviously, you know, created two sequels based on it. Just a great, great movie.
Yeah, there was kind of a little backlash though in the beginning when she was cast, right? She had to win over the Brits because that's such a beloved character.
Yeah, so obviously the book's real, you know, the book was so big in like the mid to late 90s, and getting this American to play the character, but you know, obviously there's been three films on the back of it. Her accent's really good in it, and like I say, this is peak Zellweger for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she actually had to put on weight for the role as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if they cast an American as Harry Potter, right, Sean?
Sure.
Sean, what do you feel of Bridget Jones' Diary?
I mean, it's okay. I mean, I don't think much about the movie. I think I've seen it once, so. It definitely wouldn't be on my list just because I'd probably have to watch it again to even consider it.
Logan, anything?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I've seen it once or twice, but I it's not one I've sat down and watched a bunch.
Yep. Scott?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of romantic comedies in 2010s, and I don't even think this would crack the top 20, but I may have to go back and watch it because as I've gotten older, I've become more of a Hugh Grant fan. So, I'll have to probably check it out with him in it.
All right. So we're up to Sean. Give us one of yours.
All right. My first one is, I'm not as good at this time frame as I am, obviously, the 80s and 90s, which is obviously my wheelhouse. But I picked 500 Days of Summer. And I remember seeing this, I think it was on HBO or whatever. I didn't see it in the theaters. Obviously, you know, we have Joseph Gordon-Levitt again. And then Zoe Deschanel as Summer, you know, again, that girl next door kind of cute scenario. They meet at work. He works for a greeting card company. She's the new, like, admin assistant. He courts her. They fall in love. They start dating. She has commitment issues, and it really plays out over time how their relationship goes. And in the end, they end up breaking up more due to Summer's issues, not really being in love with Tom, and kind of let him on a little bit and then broke up with him. Then she sees him on a train. She's engaged, invites him to the engagement party, but he doesn't know he's going there for an engagement party. He thinks he's going there to get back together with her. And so in the end, it was kind of cool that he goes for a job interview and he meets a girl at the job interview named Autumn. So he went from Summer to Autumn. So I think it's really fun. It has a really, really cool dance scene with a Hall & Oates song, You Make My Dreams Come True. That's pretty damn funny. So really, I think, underrated romantic comedy from 2009. It's one of those that I'll watch every time it's on.
Yeah, it's a fun. That was really JGL moving into adulthood. And You Make My Dreams, you know, it was also, we talked about this movie in the A block, The Wedding Singer has a really great montage to You Make My Dreams, so it's going to have to be a bed in one of the, on the show at some point. Logan, you a fan of 500 Days of Summer?
I've actually never seen it.
Okay. All right. You guys got a lot of homework after this show, sure, by the way.
It's convicting
me. 12-year-olds need to go watch some movies.
Yeah. Scott, do I even ask?
No comment.
Ben?
This is my, I'm kicking myself for not putting it on my list film. I love it. Zoe Deschanel is fabulous. And like Sean says, the soundtrack is amazing. You know, I think there's two or three Smith songs on there as well. Yeah,
he's again, a big fan of the Smiths in the movie. That's how they
that's
bond.
That's right. That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. And yeah, it's just great, and I am kicking myself for not putting it on.
All right, back to Logan. Now, Logan, give us your second entry.
So for my second entry, I'm going to go to 2009, and I'm going to go with The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock's character's name is Margaret Tate, and she's kind of she works with a publishing company, and Ryan Reynolds is one of her assistants, or he works under her. She gets threatened to be deported because she's from Canada, and she violated her work visa somehow. So they have to act like they're going to get married, or that they're already married. I can't remember if they have to, or if they tell them that they're already married, or if they're getting married. But eventually, Ryan Reynolds kind of blackmails her to give him like an editor position if he does this. And then they go and meet his family, and then they end up actually falling in love, even though they kind of hated each other at the beginning of the movie. So it's just kind of a good tale of, you know, two people that didn't really have much to do with each other, or, you know, really didn't like each other, that kind of just fall in love after spending some time with each other. And it's got Betty White in it, so that's a plus always.
All right. Sean, it made your list as well.
Absolutely. It's hilarious. Ryan Reynolds, as everyone knows, I'm a fan of Ryan Reynolds, which you might see him a little later, maybe, perhaps. But yeah, just a great movie. They have great chemistry. Sandra Bullock as just a snotty little boss. I love the whole interaction with Ryan Reynolds' family. There's some iconic scenes. Betty White's great. Mary Steenburgen is great. I'm with Logan. I think this is just funny, good, romantic comedy that I could, again, every time it's on the TV, I'll watch it every time because I think it's great.
All right. Ben, you a fan of The Proposal?
Seen it. Thought it was okay. I'll watch it if it's on, but it's about a 7 out of 10 for me, so it was not going to make any cut of mine.
Right. Scott?
How could you forget Coach Craig T. Nelson as Ryan Reynolds' dad? He was great.
Oh,
as
yeah, he's a miserable, he's a dick.
Miserable old prick in this movie.
He's a prick.
But I could only have one Ryan Reynolds movie on my list, and that's coming up shortly.
There's a proposal.
I mean, true, but The Proposal is great. I just feel like 2000s to 2010 romantic comedies are like the bread and butter for me, and it just, if I could have had all 8 picks, it would have been on this list.
All right, Scott, give us your next entry.
All right, my next entry came out in 2019, and I didn't think I would like it as much as I did. It was on Netflix. As we found out, romantic comedies don't really do that well at the box office anymore, unless you're a Marvel movie or, you know, Star Wars, or not really DC. You got to be a franchise, but Always Be My Maybe. It has probably one of the best cameos ever with Keanu Reeves in it, but it's about, it stars Ali Wong and Randall Park. Randall Park is, you know, we see him as Jimmy Woo now in the WandaVision, but, these two lifelong friends who split apart, everyone thought they would get together. Some years go by, they find out that like Sasha moves back home, and the romantic sparks start flying, and do they get together? Maybe or maybe not. It's just a heartwarming movie that, you know, I really wasn't expecting much. I put it on last Valentine's Day at the beginning of the quarantine, and it blew me away of how good it was. And that's why it skyrocketed to this list.
Yeah, it's on my Netflix queue, I guess you might say. I mean, I like Randall Park and Ali Wong, and I've heard the Keanu Reeves cameo is pretty good. Have any of you guys seen this? Ben, have you seen it?
I've seen it. I like it, but again, it wouldn't make my list. But yeah, I can see why other people would have it on.
Sean?
I have not seen it, no.
Yeah. Wow, that's a reversal. Logan?
Well, I'm kind of like you.
19, so let's be realistic here.
Yeah, I'm kind of like you, Andy. It's one of those things that's in my Netflix queue, but I hadn't quite got around to it yet.
All right. Ben, what's your next entry?
Okay, so I was going to pick for a while, and I even sent the list into Andy. My next pick was going to be Love Actually, which is another British film, and that is a Christmas film, Sean. That is a Christmas film.
I have one coming up too, actually. So
okay, but I changed my mind, and I think this might be where Andy was saying this is not a romantic comedy. I think he's probably going to say it about this. It was done as a zombie comedy. It was known as a rom-zom-com. The film is Shaun of the Dead from 2004. I did it on Freak Out Driving with Jenny about a year ago now. But it is a film for almost any occasion. And the reason I would put it as a romantic comedy is because Shaun, the main character, is basically trying to win back his girlfriend because he's being a bit of a dick, and he's got to get his life sorted and stop being such a slacker. There's also the bromance between Simon Pegg and Nick Frost in it. So yeah, Shaun of the Dead would be my next pick.
Yeah, I love this movie. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love this movie, and yes, it is probably, it's central to the plot, but it's the bromance is a better love story than him trying to win back Liz. I'm sorry, him and Ed, and how Ed has to basically sacrifice himself at the end, although he's already bit.
I'm all for the bromance over the actual the romantic love interest, and I've got another film coming up where the bromance is better. And I totally agree. I totally agree with you on that.
All right. Well, Sean, what are your thoughts?
No. Logan? That's my thoughts. No.
Yeah, I'd kind of go no as well, but Ben can do what he wants. He's good.
He's British. We'll let him have it. It's like 2 a.m.
Well, I've had two soppy films already, so I was like, I don't really want to go soppy again.
Scott, what are your thoughts?
Sorry, Ben, I agree with Logan and Sean, but it's a great movie. One thing I love is everything that they say is going to happen at the beginning of the movie happens at the end, with Nick Frost's character saying, with like their other flatmate saying, "You're just going to play video games out in the shed." And at the end of the movie, he's just playing video games out in the shed. So it's a great movie. I love it. But yeah, I can't see it as a romantic comedy. It's more of a bromance than anything.
All right. Sean, give us your next pick.
So my hope is that maybe at least one other person on this podcast has this on the list, but I went with one of my all-time favorite underrated comedies and did a laugh in theater with Logan and Andy on it, Just Friends. Mm-hmm. I love the story. Yes, this movie is so great. And yes, it is also a Christmas movie. But Ryan Reynolds and his pursuit of Amy Smart in this is hysterical. The crazy singer, the songs, Dusty, I mean, you name
Dinkelman.
It. Dinkelman, when Jamie smiles, sorry. So there's so much great in this movie, and it doesn't get the credit it deserves, but 100% deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore of romantic comedies. So yep. Great.
And Scott had it on his list as well.
Thank God.
Yeah, I love this movie. Like, I was a little nervous that when you said, yeah, it's another one on my list, I was like, damn it, Sean may not have the same one, but I'm glad someone else has it on this list. Like I said,
how could it not be? I mean, it's so great.
And I love Ryan Reynolds' brother. "You always be fat to me, Chris." Or like, oh, I was just slapping the hand to it when he's talking about Anna Faris and their, opioid addicted mom's like, "That better not be the ham that we're having for dinner tonight." It's just so great.
If you're anything other than ham, I'm on the salmon only diet. Yeah, it's just so silly. It's stupid so far, but friggin' hysterical. Logan.
Oh, that's a huge oversight by me. It totally
was.
Oh,
Logan, really?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I completely forgot about it.
Like, I think that deserves like an on the fly like change. I mean, really?
Yeah, cool. I might have to add that one. it's a great movie. One of my favorites.
I knew that Sean or Logan were going to pick it, so no, it didn't make my list. But yeah, it's a great movie.
All right, yeah, it is great. So back to Logan. Logan, give us another one of yours.
Yeah, I failed you, Sean. I'm sorry. I definitely should have had that one on
not
there.
Not the first time, and it won't be the last. It's okay.
Wait till the next episode.
Yeah, I was going to say. Don't give me too much credit yet there, Sean. My next one is Forgetting Sarah Marshall from 2008 with Jason Segel and Mila Kunis and Kristen Bell. Just a funny movie. At the beginning, Jason Segel and Kristen Bell's characters are together, and they kind of break up at the beginning. And then he kind of takes a trip to Hawaii to kind of take his mind off of things, and he meets Mila Kunis's character. And they just end up falling in love, and it's just a hilarious story. And he's like a puppeteer playwright, and he writes a romantic play about vampires. And it's just a hilarious series of events, and just it's so funny. And I watch it anytime it's on TV.
Yeah, I love this movie. I did a laugh in theater about it. It's actually one of my favorites of all time. Kristen Bell is the top of my list. She's on my train. What is that called, Sean? Whatever it is.
Harold.
My Harold.
Call it a train. Please yes. Don't call it a train.
And it's so funny. I mean, even the minor characters, Jack McBrayer is hysterical in it. Dwayne, the bartender, he's like, I bet you think hookers like you too, right? Mm-hmm. No, strippers, right? You're like, I bet you think strippers. Yeah. I love her show. The way they mix, you know, crime, and it's dirty, but I like it. The wife wants me to do certain things, and if God was a city planner, he would not put a playground next to a sewage system, okay?
And he starts hitting himself in the head with his hands.
Yeah, it's just so funny. Of course, Russell Brand, too.
Brand, I forgot to mention him.
And Paul Rudd is Kunu, you know? Hey!
And Jonah Hill, when his friend calls him, he's like, I can't sell you weed because I'm at work. When you called me, at work. Or when Russell Brand is singing. And me and my friends still say this quote, oh, I just went from 6 to midnight.
Did you get my demo? Did you like it? Did you get it? No, I decided just to keep living my life. I lost this shoe. It's like this shoe, but it's this fella.
Is that you trying to do a London accent?
No, it's a Russell Brand. Oi. All right. Anybody else have anything to add about Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
That probably is one that I missed. That probably would be on mine. That is a great movie. Mila Kunis is Hachi Machi. She would be on my train. Not yeah, Kristen Bell. Yeah. I would swap that out.
People goes from Kristen Bell to Mila Kunis, the poor guy.
Yeah, he has it so rough.
She's so hot.
What a bastard.
Also, sorry, Andy. It also has one of the funniest scenes in the movie at the very beginning where Kristen Bell breaks up with him, and you see Jason, not Sudeikis, God, the main characters, Seagulls. You see his dong. I remember watching that in the theater and people just losing their mind when that happened. It's just so funny. And she goes, go put on sweatpants. And he goes, if I put on sweatpants, that means this is over. Just great. Just great.
Yeah, he has an affinity for showing his dick on camera, basically. Because he does it at the end. He does it in, I believe it's Knocked Up. Yeah, Jason Segel's affinity for dropping trow on camera. all right, Scott, finish up your list.
All right, my final list is Crazy Stupid Love. Came out in 2011. This is the starting people in the cast. Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Julianne Moore, Emma Stone. It's just amazing. You think it's two separate stories being told at the same time, where Emma Stone's Hannah character's getting with Ryan Gosling, who's a player, is trying to get with Hannah, Emma Stone's character, but Ryan Gosling's also teaching Cal how to get over his wife Emily. Then it comes to one of my favorite scenes of all time, where Steve Carell's trying to get Julianne Moore back, and then Hannah comes home, and we find out that Hannah is Steve Carell and Julianne Moore's oldest daughter, who they had in high school. And Steve Carell's like, yeah, I knocked her up. And he sees Jacob, and you know, Steve Carell knows that Ryan Gosling's like this player and a piece of shit. He's like, you're not going to be with my daughter. And at this time, Annalee Tipton's character, who was watching the kids for Steve Carell and Julianne Moore. She had sent nudes to Steve Carell, and their parents find out, and her dad's trying to beat the hell out of Steve Carell, and then Julianne Moore's baby gal that she was having sex with, cheating on her husband, shows up. It's just this all-out brawl. It's just amazing. I laugh like a hyena every time it's on. I just did a horrible job describing it. Go out of your way to watch this movie. I love it. It's a great. No, it's just a great movie.
Yeah, it's really good. I love that scene, that brawl scene. I forget the guy's name. When Ryan Gosling hears the name, he like takes off his ring and just goes over and smacks the guy.
Yeah, David Lynn-Hagen. Oh, you're David Lynn-Hagen? He's played by Kevin Bacon. It's great. Josh Groban's in it as an asshole. It's just great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ben, you have any thoughts on Crazy Stupid Love?
Yeah, it's a really good film. It didn't make my list or the honorable mentions, but like Scott said, the cast in it is insane, and yeah, that fight scene's epic.
Mm-hmm. Sean,
never seen it.
What? Sean, go watch it this weekend.
Oh, you need to see that. You need to see it.
All right. The scales are still balanced, unbalanced quite a bit. So,
Andy, what you need to do is like do a spreadsheet for us all of all the things we said we've not seen tonight. And then we can go from
there. Yeah, I'm not big on the romantic comedies, especially in 2019 or 11 or whatever it was.
Sean, I will watch that Eric Stone Street movie, you know, The Great Value Marty McFly, if you watch that this weekend, okay?
I think I got wrestling to watch this weekend. I'm sorry.
Eric Stone Street movie? What Eric Stone Street movie are you talking about?
He with that girl with the short hair and
Eric
Thompson.
Stoltz. Eric Stoltz. Oh, Cam on Modern Family.
Eric Stoltz. Just say kid from Mask.
Just say shit can Marty McFly. Logan, you have anything to add about Crazy Stupid Love?
Yeah, this was one of my last cuts. It's a great movie, and that scene that Scott was talking about where they have kind of the all-out brawl is one of the most hilarious scenes in any movie I've ever seen. So it's a definite must-watch for sure.
All right, Ben, give us one of yours.
All right, so romantic comedies in the mid-noughties, as you all love me to say, went sort of one or two ways. One route was the nice, traditional, safe route with things like The Holiday and The Wedding Planner and things like that. And then there's the 15, 18 rated movie route, which is the route I went down, funnily enough. You talk about killer cast. So the film I have picked for my first one is The Wedding Crashers with Owen Wilson, Vince Vaughn, Christopher Walken, Isla Fisher, Bradley Cooper, and Jane Seymour in it. So it's basically these two guys, and it tells you everything in the sort of plot title. They basically made a life for themselves of crashing as many weddings as they can and having sex with as many women as they can from those weddings. They end up at going for the wedding of, I think it's the Secretary of State's daughter, and then they fall in love with two of the characters in there, and it goes from there. And yeah, it's really, really good. It introduces the whole concept of girls with a tramp stamp. You know, that became quite a popular phrase.
Might as well be a bullseye.
Exactly. I'm straight. And I just absolutely love this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bradley Cooper plays such a dick in that movie. Ella Fisher is so nuts. That one scene where in the bathroom, she's like, "I might find you," and she does that thing with her eyes. It like, I'm like terrified and yet extremely turned on at the same time.
Sean, Sacha Baron Cohen's a very lucky buddy.
I tell you,
well, it didn't make my list, but it would make like probably a different list, like the comedy realm. I didn't really see it as a romantic comedy per se, but. Absolutely fantastic movie. So, love it.
Logan, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, for sure. It's one of my favorites. It would definitely be in an honorable mention if I had written any down.
Yeah. Scott?
I agree. It's just a great movie. I'm a little upset with myself that I didn't think of it. Just so many great quotable lines. Like, I remember people would have the poster of the rules up on their walls in college. Yeah. That was pretty big, you know. Will Ferrell's character, Ma, the meatloaf. That's just great. Rachel McAdams just looks amazing in that movie the whole time. Like, talking about Girl Next Door, she looks like a girl next door right there. And that with Approachable and everything.
Christopher Walken as we're talking about scallops and all that stuff. Yeah, he's very funny. And you have what's her name? Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour.
Yeah, Dr. Quinn. Yeah. You know, wanted to nail. Owen Hart. Owen Hart. Oh, Jesus.
you guys, oh, you give me shit, Andy?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you guys got me wrestling on the brain with all your friggin' remarks.
Sparks.
You want to fuck my lovable brother Owen?
Marks. It's my show.
Bunch of marks.
Yeah, listen to the latest.
I want
to
get with my lovable brother Owen.
Brother Owen. I was a wedding crasher with my brother Owen. Went to all the British films in Calgary.
I totally watch that movie.
and also it is on my wish list for Laugh and Theater. Just saying, if anybody wants to do that movie, Sean, finish up your list.
So this is like, again, I was struggling with this, and there's, you know, old people in romantic movies is always, you know, interesting. And I think Justin brought up, he's a big fan of It's Complicated. He likes that one.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So he went back. Go ahead. What?
He did offer money for somebody to put it on a list. But well, obviously,
I was going back and forth on It's Complicated or the other one that I like them both, but I really do like this one. And the main reason why is Jack Nicholson. I went with Something's Gotta Give. And I like him because, one, he's dating Amanda Peet, who's, 30 years younger than him. And they go to her mom's summer house, who's Diane Keaton, thinking they're going to be alone and have sex. And lo and behold, Diane Keaton's there. Well, while he's there, he has a heart attack. And then there's this whole story about him staying with her. He ends up falling in love with Diane Keaton. And, you know, it's Jack Nicholson, who I absolutely love. So, unfortunately, this one's going to get the nod for me over It's Complicated over Meryl Streep. So really fun, underrated movie. It's also got Keanu Reeves in it. It's got Jon Favreau in it. So has a really good cast, and it's a really a lot of fun. If you haven't seen this movie, you should check it out.
Yep. Logan, have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I won't lie.
Scott?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's a good movie. Maybe it's like, I'm not trying to throw shade. Maybe as I get older, I would enjoy it more. But
yeah, well, and again, that's a fair assessment because it is an old person movie, so I relate.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to throw shade. So
that's okay. Someone would have if you didn't. It's okay.
Man,
made my honorable mentions. Love it. It's one of my favorite underrated Nicholson movies. Frances McDormand's really good in it, as well as Erica's sister.
All right. Logan, let's finish up your list.
All right, so my last one is Silver Linings Playbook. It's from 2012. It's got my two celebrities that I would leave my wife for, Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence. So, but it's about Bradley Cooper's character has bipolar disorder, and he had just gotten checked out of mental health rehab. And his mission is to kind of get his wife back, but he's trying to have like a positive outlook on life at the same time. And he meets Jennifer Lawrence's character, who has, they don't really say what it is, but she's like a recent widow, and she's just, you know, she's kind of a little bit crazy, but she's gone through some bad times. So, you know, she kind of can relate to him, and she said she'll help him get his wife back if he'll enter a dance contest with her. So the whole movie's kind of based around them trying to learn how to dance with each other, and kind of him or her teaching him kind of get his wife back. But they end up falling in love, kind of like a lot of these rom-coms are. But it's just a really it's not super comedic, I guess, but it has funny parts at the same time. But I felt like it fell into this category. But it's just really enjoyable. Like I said, Bradley Cooper and J-Law are fun to look at, as always. So,
yeah, I think I've only seen it one time. I did enjoy it when I saw it. Scott, any thoughts?
Just a great movie, and it has one of my favorite comedians in it, Chris Tucker. Robert De Niro's in it as well. And Chris Tucker I love from the Rush Hour movies, so nice to see him bounce back. I'm not going to blame Logan for saying that about Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper. Those are two attractive people, so I get it.
Ben?
Yeah, I think I've only seen it once or twice, but the cast is, they're brilliant in it. And, you know, I think, did they all get Oscar nominated? like the four main people in it, and it was all they were all thoroughly deserved as well. But yeah, it's a really, really good movie.
Sean, you have anything to add?
Yeah, I would definitely say that should be up there again. Probably right missed my list, or it should have been a runner up, and I didn't put it down as a runner up. But yeah, definitely a memorable good movie with a really great cast.
All right, Ben, finish up your list.
Okay, so once again, it's another gross out movie, and I think I might be picking somebody who is a prominent member of the Smell Club, so I apologize in advance, Sean. I have picked Knocked Up. If you talk great casts again, so you've got Seth Rogen, you've got Katherine Heigl, you've got Paul Rudd, you've got Leslie Knight, you've got Jonah Hill and Jason Segel all in it. I love the fact that it sort of plays the rom-com backwards. So, you know, it's a whole, you know, a really good rom-com should be a will they, won't they, and then they get together at the end. Well, in this case, the couple get together at the beginning, and it's the whole effect. So, as the title might suggest, that one of the main characters gets pregnant due to this getting together. So it's them sort of trying to fall in love, breaking up, and then falling back in love again. And yeah, it's another Judd Apatow film, and I really, really love it. Again, if it's on, I will watch it. Yeah, it's a great, great film.
Yeah, yeah, it is really great. The supporting cast, his whole little crew, when they're trying to come up with the Dr. Skin or whatever they want to call it, where you see naked people, right? Is a website.
Yeah.
It's that whole crew. Like, basically, it's like, you know, Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared, like the whole Apatow gang, yeah, with Jason totally. Segel, Jonah Hill, Jay Baruchel,
Paul Rudd,
Martin Starr.
Mm-hmm. And Craig Robinson is great as that bouncer. You know, look, I would normally hit that ass, but look, you know, you old, she pregnant, kid have some old pregnant bitches running around the club. Sean?
But like,
go ahead, Ben.
Go on. No, I was going to say, but again, like I say, I love the fact that it takes the rom-com structure and does it backwards. So that's what really attracts me to it, because, you know, it's a film with a plot, it's a film with a heart, and yeah, it's a great, great cast as well.
All right, Sean, anything to add?
I think Heigl would probably be in the Smell Club. I'm not real sure. I'd have to think about it. But I am a huge, huge fan, and I think she's an underrated Hachi, of Leslie Mann. I think she is an extremely attractive woman of the older age, and I believe this also spurned a sequel. This is 40, right, with her and Paul Rudd as a married couple, I believe.
That was correct. Damn long.
Which is, it's a long-ass movie, but I pretty much love Leslie Mann in anything she's in. But yeah, I see why this would be on there. So definitely is worthy of a runner-up for sure for me, if I had Logan? It on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This is just another one that I haven't seen enough to kind of consider it for one of these lists. But yeah, it's definitely a good movie for sure.
Yep. Scott?
Yeah, I'm upset with myself that I didn't think of this. I love this movie. I remember seeing it in theaters. Just great. It's when Apatow was running the world. But like Andy said, then he started making movies that should have ended 45 minutes before they did.
Yes. All right.
Yeah, this is 40 was like 5 hours long.
Yeah, that was so
funny people. I was like, Jesus, just kill Adam Sandler in the middle of the movie. Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So painfully long. Oh my God, it doesn't need to be
long. Yeah, that movie sucks. Funny people.
All right. Honorable mentions that we haven't talked about. Logan, you have any honorable mentions we haven't talked about?
We kind of talked about it earlier. It's one of Adam Sandler's movies that I haven't hated over the last few years, and it's Just Go With It. It's got Jennifer Aniston. What?
No, I said, oh, yeah.
Okay. I thought you were saying something else. But yeah, it's got Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston, Brooklyn Decker. You know, he's dating Brooklyn Decker at the beginning, but Jennifer Aniston's his assistant. He's a dentist, they just kind of go on a trip with each other, and Jennifer Aniston brings her kids, and they kind of fall in love throughout that, and he falls in love with her kids, so they all end up being a happy family. So just a good one of the good Adam Sandler movies over the last like 10 or 15 years, because he hasn't had the best batting average, so I'll throw that one in there.
Oh yeah, no, I like that movie when it's on. Scott, any honorable mentions we haven't talked about?
No, none that I can think of. I think we hit them all. Like this said, there's just so much, but I think we hit a good bit. I'm a little upset for myself for not putting a couple of those on, but I think we all had great lists.
Ben?
We mentioned Something's Got to Give already. I'm surprised nobody mentioned Legally Blonde. If we're talking great Reese Witherspoon movies. I know it's not a proper rom-com to speak, but, you know, I did put 40-Year-Old Virgin on for the Judd Apatow aspect of it, as well as another film that isn't considered a proper rom-com, but, you know, we mentioned bromances earlier on, so this is like the girl version of that, and that is Bridesmaids, with, you know, the Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig dynamic. But they were my honorable mentions.
Yeah, Bridesmaids, another on my wish list for Laugh in Theater. A lot of great movies I still have to get to. Sean, any honorable mentions that we haven't talked about?
This is the one that we watch at Christmas. My wife and I, it's one of the few that we watch together because she's more about these kind of movies. And Ben brought it up earlier. He mentioned it, The Holiday, which is really, it's kind of a fun movie. It's got Jack Black, I think Jude Law, Cameron Diaz, and Kate Winslet. So. Mm-hmm. Where they swap places, one goes to America, one goes to London, and Cameron Diaz falls in love with Jude Law, who is Kate Winslet's brother. Kate Winslet falls in love with Jack Black, and it's just kind of a good old-fashioned comedy, romantic. It's definitely a husband-wife kind of watch, but it's definitely one I watch every year, which is, I put it up as a runner-up.
Yeah, you know, we definitely have to do an episode with guilty pleasures, because I have some, like, I don't know if they consider romantic comedies, like Miss Congeniality or what the hell, Devil Wears Prada. I don't know if I'd consider those romantic comedies, but definitely in the same.
Devil Wears Prada for Meryl Streep alone is awesome. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also we have to do a shout out to you, our friend Justin, for It's Complicated. It is a really funny movie.
I was torn between that and the one that I chose. So
no, Meryl Streep, Alec Baldwin, Steve Martin. Yeah, it's really funny. Meryl Streep is just, she can't really do no wrong. It was just so funny. Like, you know, they're trying to have an affair and he has like a cardiac episode at the hotel. They end up just sitting there, you know, eating soup. So yeah, it's a really funny movie. All right, so that about wraps up this episode of Making Mount Rushmore. But before we go, I want you guys to tell everybody where you can be found on other pods or social medias. And we will start with Sean.
So in a few days, maybe like I think Friday after this drops, the newest NWA Crack and Roll, looking at part one of November 85, will debut. And we will have our guest Rory, that's on the special relations with Ben. So we look forward to that. November is a big time. November 85, big time for Crockett Wrestling. So that'll be fun. And I would also like to bring up the next episode of Shrink Wrap that will be debuting at some point in that time frame as well. We look at the four-issue limited series of Vision and the Scarlet Witch. So if you've been following along with us on the WandaVision pod on Pop Goes to the Couch, it's a nice kind of correlation, comparison, listen to that with a lot of the comic stuff that's in that pod as well. So give that one a listen as well over on a North-South feed.
All right. Ben?
You can catch me on Twitter at BenL1981. On the wrestling feed, I am one third of the special relations with Rory and Callum. I'm also one third of the chicken salad crew with Logan and Sean, as well as being one sixth of the Impact Zone six pack. And here on the Pop Experience, I'm one half of Telly and T with Miranda.
All right, very good. Scott?
Yeah, you can catch me at Scott_Shiflet. Myself, Andy, Sean, and Tim Capel have been reviewing the WandaVision episode, so make sure to check that out on PTPN Goes to the Couch. Myself, Andy, and Eric Eels spoke about Shrek in our January episode of Blockbuster Rewind, so just check those out, and thank you so much.
All right, Logan?
Yeah, you can find me at Highway PTBN on Twitter. Like Ben said, I'm in the chicken salad. We just recorded our newest episode of that one. It should be coming out fairly soon after this comes out, I think. We did No Way Out 2003. I try and steer the ship at Highway to the Impact Zone. I kind of fail sometimes, but I do my best. But we're recording the newest episode of that later this week as well. It'll be out the next week. And me and Roger just did a new show on the North South Connection feed called From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen, where we looked at No Holds Barred. We're just going to be watching movies. We don't live watch them, but we watch them and talk about them. We're watching movies that feature wrestlers, so that'll be a real fun one to kind of do with Roger over there. So that's all I got.
So every other episode is going to be with The Rock, right?
Maybe. Yeah. It might not be like that. No. I think we're going to try to kind of focus on his career, like while he was still with the company, and not necessarily like all of the Fast movies and all that kind of stuff. So,
how big a part does a wrestler have to have in the movie? Like, is Grandma's Boy considered one because Kevin Nash plays a repo man in the beginning?
We haven't really talked about it, but I think we're probably. We're probably going to stick to, like, them being the feature role at first, and then maybe later on we'll kind of filter in the ones where they're kind of bit players.
All right. Sounds like fun. Then suggest you all check that out. As for me, yes, most of my shows here are on the Pop Experience. That is Laughing Theater, PTVN Trivia Night. We will know if Logan, you know, won the Disney episode or not by the time you hear this. He is facing Jason Sherman and Neil Trauma, so the best of luck to all of you. Also, check out other great shows here on that feed. Great Debate may be back at some point. Year in Pop, and Scott mentioned Blockbuster Rewind as well. I believe we're covering the RoboCop movies for our show this month. And Pop Goes to Classics. You will have heard our latest episode by the time this hits. That's myself and Miranda and Steve Riddle. We are covering, I believe, is Lady and a Tramp is our latest episode that will drop over on the Pop. On the Wrestling Network, I have episode of Evolution up with my friend Tim Capel. We talked about Diamond Dallas Page. And then a new one should be out within the next couple of months, as well as the Great Debate Wrestling. Check out everything going on, though, on the PTVN Wrestling Network, as well as the Jenny Position Net Fine feed brought to you by our friend Jennifer Smith, and the North-South Connection, which features shows with Sean and Logan as well. So, all kinds of fun stuff on all the feeds. Check out PlaceToBeNation.com every day. Articles, hot takes, all the pods are featured there. And the Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Join it and, have fun. It's a great community. So, I want to say a big thank you, though, to Sean Kidd, Ben Locke, Scott Shiflett, and Logan Crossan for joining me on this latest episode of Making Mount Rushmore. And we'll see you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Oh God.